I apologize for being 3 minutes late.
Fired.
Now I'm forgiven before I could even collect my severance pay. As you know, we've been studying reasons for being a member of the Church of Christ. And last week we began a study on I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it teaches that infants are born pure and innocent. And on Wednesday nights, we began our devotional with a few songs and prayer. And before dispersing to our various Bible study classes, the little children come up front and they quote Bible verses, and they do sing-alongs with one of our beloved Elder David Case. And as you sit and watch these very young children, you can readily see that they are the epitome of the words pure and innocent. If you listen to the news this week, there was a young child at the age of 1 or 2 years old that drowned in a baptismal pool in 2 feet of water. There was news where a grandmother received life in prison for drowning her 4-year-old grandson. On Monday morning, there was a drive-by shooting in Detroit where some 40 rounds of ammunition was fired into a home and a 9-month-old infant was slain. It's been a while now, but you can probably remember when the name JonBenet Ramsey probably sounds familiar to you. A lovely 6-year-old was killed while in supposedly the safety of her parents' home during the Christmas season of 1996. And these tragedies are not caused by a fault of their own, but usually by the negligence or lack of love of an adult. How can anyone have the slightest inclination that these souls of these innocent human beings, these gifts from God, these beings created in His own image, will be eternally lost? Lost because of something over which they have no control. Lost because of something of which they have no knowledge. They have no knowledge of baptism or the scriptural steps that lead to baptism. Punishing an infant or a young child who has not reached the age of reasoning could be compared to a teacher of a preschool class or a kindergarten class punishing one of the students for being late. God will not punish you for something over which you have no control. There is a scriptural order to the process of being baptized. Many times at the end of the sermon, you'll hear our minister, Brother Parks, will go over that scriptural order. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But the infant has not heard. And therefore, since faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the infant has no faith. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. And then he cannot believe what he has not heard. And since he has not believed, he cannot be baptized. The Bible says in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. then the infant has not repented. But Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The command in Acts 2:38 is to repent and be baptized. And then the infant has not confessed Jesus before men. Look at Matthew 11:32-33, where Jesus speaks of the importance of confessing him before men. Acts 11:32-33. Sometimes you hear this when the minister extends the invitation at the end of his sermon. Matthew 11. I still have it wrong. 17. So I'll just quote it. No, this should be Matthew. 10. Did I write down the wrong scripture? I'll find it. It's where Jesus said, you must confess him. If you deny him before men, he'll deny you before his Father, which is in heaven. Is that 10? Why did my computer put 11? Exactly. Man-made. Matthew 10:32-33. Thank you, Brother Parks. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. So the infant has not confessed Jesus before men. And then one might ask the question, what about infants born to parents that do not believe in God? What about them? What about those who believe in God but live their lives as though there is no God? What about their children? There are some who believe in God but do not believe in organized religion. They have infants too. What about those infants? Are they born in such a way that they will be eternally lost upon their demise before the age of reasoning? I don't think so. In Ezekiel 18:4, the Lord said to the prophet, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. I don't believe that God places the soul of anyone into the hands of any man. If you go to heaven, it will be because you made the right choices. If your soul is eternally lost, it will be because you made the wrong choices. It will be because you hardened your heart to sermons like the powerful sermon preached this morning by Brother Parks. The Bible says when you hear his word, harden, or hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Infants cannot harden their hearts. In Ecclesiastes 12:7, the Bible says that the body goes back to the dust of the earth as it was, and the soul or spirit goes back to God who gave it. So if God gave an evil spirit at birth, who then would be responsible for the corruption of that individual before they reach the age of reasoning? But in Genesis 1:31, the Bible says that God saw that everything that he made was what? Not just good, but very good. Very good. And James 1:17, James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness or changeableness, neither shadow of turning. God does not give anything bad, corrupt, or evil. Infants are born pure and innocent. Not this theory of hereditary total depravity, which we explained on last week, where the child is born evil, corrupt, or so to speak, a child of the devil. Infants are not born in that state. I look at some of the beautiful young little children we have here, infants, and there's no way that I could believe that they'll be lost, or that they are lost. They're walking around lost with their souls in our hands, unless we decide to baptize them, something over which they have no control. This is what some people are teaching. And we'll get even deeper into it as the lesson unfolds. We ended the class last week on, we sang a song, and can you imagine an infant singing the song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And we define sin in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, that sin is transgression of the law. Infants have transgressed no law. And if they were guilty, or if they have a corrupt nature, or if they're born with a corrupt nature, if they're born totally depraved or totally evil, will a few drops of water change their nature? When we consider the scriptural definition of baptism, the Greek word being baptizo, which means to immerse, dip, or plunge, or submerge, will a few drops of water change their corrupt nature? And then we mentioned it is not wise to immerse an infant into water. Would you take your 1-month-old infant and hold him under water for a couple of seconds? You would be guilty of domestic violence. Will a few drops of water cleanse them from what is called the original sin, a term which you cannot find in God's word? There's no such term in God's word. This is a human term. And then how can they be guilty of a sin which they did not commit? They have transgressed no law. Are there any questions or comments? Brother. Amen. Right, so if a child is born totally depraved or wicked, is Jesus saying that we must become totally depraved or wicked before we can enter into the kingdom of heaven? Is that what he's saying here when he said we must become like the little children? I don't think that's what he's saying. Thank you, Brother Atkins. If infants are guilty of sin, they cannot be cleansed until they repent. I hate to sound redundant, but they cannot be cleansed until they repent. And infants do not repent. And the command to repent is in Luke chapter 13, verse 3. This is speaking of those who are of a reasoning age. And this comes at different ages, because you, most of you have probably raised children, and you know that one child might learn a little faster than the other child. So the age of reasoning will come at different ages. Amen, Brother Atkins. He has two beautiful children. I love both of them. So if infants are born guilty of the so-called original sin, or born totally depraved, they will remain guilty or depraved until they repent. Those who claim that they that it's scriptural to baptize children, sprinkle a few drops of water on the infant, to put too much stress on the water. They give the water too much power. The sole authority, the only scriptural authority one has for even administering baptism, is in the Christian dispensation, is found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Most of you could probably quote that, but since I didn't quote the last verse right, I'll read this one. Matthew chapter 28. I was beginning at verse 19, but I'll begin at verse 18, which is very important. We find Jesus speaking. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And we define the commandment as to instruct with authority. And who has more authority than Jesus? So he gives his disciples a commandment. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them," the ones who have been taught, "in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Look at Mark chapter 16. Verse 16. "He that believeth," believeth what? The gospel. And remember, we said Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God." So some Greek words are translated faith, and the same word is sometimes translated belief or trust. But he that believed or trust in the word, that is a believing faith, which means obedience to what you've heard. Brother Parks, again, I referred to the lesson he preached this morning, a very powerful lesson, but that lesson is only good to those who obey what they heard, rather than harden your heart. And he gave some beautiful examples. I've read that scripture many times, and I sat there as a student this morning, and I can preach that somewhere else, but not here. So the Great Commission that we just mentioned, the command is to go make disciples. He explained disciples, a follower, a learner. And those are the ones to be baptized. Baptize the ones that are, the command is to make disciples and baptize them. So them being a pronoun, then we need an antecedent for the pronoun, which is disciples. The ones that have been taught or made followers or learners are the ones to be baptized, and infants do not fit that category. Unless infants are disciples, they are not included in the command to be baptized. Amen. As we said, to make a disciple means to teach or instruct. And a disciple is a learner or a follower. To what extent must one be a disciple before he can be baptized? He must have reached the age of reasoning and be able to understand what he is being taught. How can you be a learner or a follower if you don't understand what you're being taught? So the believer is the one to be baptized. And infants are not in that class. Baptism is one of the conditions of salvation. As we did a lesson a few weeks ago on the bloodline in the divine economy of God. And baptism is where we come in contact with the cleansing blood of Christ. We showed in John chapter 19 where Jesus was already dead when his blood was shed. And in Romans chapter 6, we are baptized into his death because that is where we come in contact with the forgiving blood, the cleansing blood of Christ. So what are we cleansed from? Our sins. Peter said, be baptized for the remission of your sins. But unless infants are lost and need to be saved, unless they are guilty of having sinned and need to be pardoned, there can be no ground on which baptism can be administered to them by the authority of the Lord. They have no sins to be remitted. They're born pure and innocent. And that is why we do not baptize infants in the Church of Christ. As we've said, sin is lawlessness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Infants could not have been included in the number commanded to be baptized unto the remission of sins because they have no sin. They have transgressed no law. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. In the first sermon preached after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost. And it was, of course, the outspoken Peter that preached. And after the multitude had accused the apostles of being full of new wine, Peter lifted up his voice and spoke in their defense in verse 17 through verse 21. I won't read all that, but you already know that those scriptures. In verse 22. Peter spoke of the prophecy in Joel chapter 2. I'm sorry, in verse 22, he began to preach the first sermon. That's where I want to be. Verse 22, he began to preach the first sermon, saying, ye men of Israel. Then they, referring to the house of Israel, which is mentioned in verse 36 also, that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There were no infants baptized on that occasion. And that was the beginning of the execution of the Great Commission. And the beginning of the Church of Christ in Jerusalem. The so-called mother church of the Christian dispensation. So let's begin in verse 29 and do a search for infants. See if we can find some. Men and brethren. There's no infants there. Paul, Peter said, let me freely speak to you. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified. No infants there. The infants didn't crucify Jesus. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they and their were pricked in their heart. They and their are pronouns, so they must have an antecedent, which goes back to verse 36, the house of Israel. No infants there. Verse 38, Peter said unto them, the house of Israel, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Again, referring to who? The house of Israel. Not to the infant. And the house of Israel, he said, you're the ones that crucified the Lord. There was no infant there. Was a spear or there to break the legs of the thieves. They couldn't reach that high anyway. Verse 39. For the promises unto you and your children, and to all that are afar off. I don't see any infants there. Verse 40. Save yourselves. Yourselves is another pronoun. It's called a reflective pronoun. And it goes back again to the house of Israel. Verse 41. Then they, the ones who accepted the word from the house of Israel, the ones that were pricked in their hearts, that gladly received his word, were baptized. Those are the ones that were baptized, the ones that had heard Peter preach his sermon and believed and were pricked in their hearts, realizing that they had crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 42. And they, the house of Israel, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Infants don't pray. And verse 44, and all that believed. I don't see any infants there. And look at verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So the infants sold their big wheels and rattles and dials and iPods and passies and extra Pampers and parted them to all men as every man had need. Can you see that? That's not in your Bible. It's not in mine either. Verse 46. And they, the ones that had been baptized, the ones who had believed Peter's sermon, the ones that were pricked in their hearts, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meals with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. While we're there, you cannot join a church. You are baptized into the church and you are added to the church by who? Jesus Christ our Lord. If I own it, you can only become a member by my authority. If I own it, I'm the only one that can add you to it. If I own it, I want it to show ownership in my name. That is why we call this the Church of Christ or Christ Church. Any questions or comments? There were some questions asked. Yes, sir.
Part of the house of Israel? I mean, the infants circumcised 8 days old.
Yes. Yes.
So they would be in the audience. I mean, it's like bringing that, or they have a great babysitting club. But they would be there.
Yes.
And in reference to them not believing, I go along with that. But they are like a part of the house of Israel.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to verify that that's the way I understand.
We're on the same page. Yes, there were children in the house of Israel. And that's well understood, but that is why we gave the definition of baptism and the purpose for which baptism was administered. And that is to wash away sins, to come in contact with the cleansing blood of Christ by being baptized into his death according to Romans chapter 6. And according to John 19, around verse 33, Jesus was, when they came to him, he was dead, and a soldier pierced him in his side, and forthwith came blood and water. So we want to come in contact with that blood, and it's only through being baptized into his death that we can. But baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And we've shown that infants have no sin. Yes, there were children in the house of Israel. Just like there are children here at the Waterford Church of Christ. But they don't need baptism as of yet, because they have not yet come to reasoning age. A brother came to me last week and asked, because we had discussed on the process of baptizing, and how that sometimes it's a natural reflex for a person to try to come up out of the water on their own. And we want that person to be completely submerged when baptized. And somebody said, well, why do they always baptize and they have to, can't they go down face first? I said, how many people have you seen buried face down? We're imitating the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in baptism. And nobody's that I know of has ever been buried. Maybe they turned them over after they took the body into the funeral home. I don't know. But when I went to the funeral and they had the casket open, the person was lying face up. Yes, sir.
I did hear a joke about a guy that was so wicked they buried him face down so they could see where he was going.
That's an exception. Did everybody hear that? Buried face down so you can see where you're going. That's like a guy sleeping with his glasses on so he can see what he was dreaming about. The advocates of this unscriptural theory of infant baptism use the 14th division of Psalms, verse 2 and 3. Where it says, but actually it disproves the doctrine. Jehovah looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek after God. They were all gone aside. They are together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The key words here are gone and become. If they were already born wicked, then they wouldn't have to go and become wicked. So actually, what one of the proof texts that the advocates of this theory use actually disproves it by those two verbs, gone and become. It is impossible for them to have gone aside and become filthy if they had been born that way. The fact that they went aside and became filthy is proof that they were not born totally depraved. Does that make sense? The 51st division of Psalms, verse 5, that Elder Simpson mentioned last week. It says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Those who teach hereditary total depravity infer that David was born a sinner. But that is not even close to the interpretation. Sin was mentioned in the verse, but it was sin that was committed before David existed. David did not exist when he was conceived. The iniquity and sin here spoken of existed before David had an existence. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3. And were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. By nature does not always mean by inheritance. Here it is speaking of sinful habits. Sinful habits. The 58th division of Psalms, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. They went astray when? After they were born. They were not born astray. And their going astray consisted of speaking lies. Infants cannot speak lies. Therefore, the sin was not committed in infancy. And a lie is told for the purpose of deceiving. A little child might tell a lie. I know one of the worst whippings I ever got. Well, you know what a whooping is. That's a good one. And the worst whooping I ever got was for telling a lie. But I was too small to realize that it was for the purpose of deceiving. I lied to keep from getting a whooping. And I used to wonder, how did he know I was lying? Judge Judy says, if it doesn't make sense, it's usually a lie. So to my dad, it didn't make sense. So he didn't have as much sense as me. But that didn't matter when we got in the bedroom. And Jehovah said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. He became a sinner in his youth, not at birth. He wasn't born totally depraved. Genesis chapter 5 verse 21. So if a man's heart became evil in his youth, then it must have been before youth, which would have been his infancy. And we covered this. Man's spirit was given him by his maker, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 7. So we might ask the question, if God had given man a corrupt spirit, then it would be unjust and unfair for God to hold man responsible for his corruption. An infant is not depraved because God is not depraved. Paul said in his famous speech at Mars Hill, for we are also his offspring. Acts chapter 17 verse 28. So being the offspring of God, a child is not depraved unless God is depraved. And no one, not me, could accuse God of being depraved. Then why make that accusation against his offspring? The child will not bear the iniquity of the parent. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 20. So both righteousness and sin or iniquity rest upon its doer. A little child is not depraved because man must become as a little child, as we said earlier, as Brother Atkins read. A man must become as a little child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So if those who teach that a child is born hereditary, totally depraved, was Jesus teaching that we must become wicked and corrupt to enter into the kingdom? And we mentioned, somebody mentioned this on last week about in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, where David said, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David was not of the belief that his child that died was corrupt or had a corrupt nature and was guilty of sin. He believed that that child died pure and innocent as it was born, and that by living a life according to God's commandments and statutes, he would see him again. That's what he was talking about. And drawing near the end, it is impossible for sin to be inherited. Sin is a violation of God's law, either by commission or omission. And we have quoted 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, that whosoever sins transgresseth the law, for sin is transgression of the law. But James chapter 4, verse 17 says that for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. Him that knoweth to do good, the infant doesn't know. The infant doesn't know. So it is impossible for sin to be inherited, because it is not an inherent quality. The fact that God has not given a plan for saving infants is proof that they are not lost and they are not sinners. They were lost and they were sinners, then there would be a plan of salvation in God's word for infants the same as it is for adults. Thank you.